Hey, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geekly news on a weekly basis of some degree. We discuss some topics, we have a good time. As always, it's the internet's favorite person. It's me, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the internet's favorite book readingist, copy editingist, podcast hostingist, co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
No.
Awesome. Hey, thanks. Listeners, thanks again for listening to another episode of Geekly Reveal. You can find us all over social media.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Stephanie. I'm a contrary person. You never know what you're going to get with me. Chaotic neutral. That's me.
We have Hella Steph, the agent of chaos herself.
Yes.
So can I safely assume that Homestuck has come back then?
Because I'm being a chaos agent?
Because you're being a troll, I guess? I don't know. It's something like
sure.
That.
Let's go.
I never really got into it. Steph, how you doing today? How's your weekend been?
My weekend's been pretty chill. You've got me actually searching right now to see if what's going on good old MSPaintAdventures.com.
Who knows? Well, people probably know, but...
Yeah, someone probably knows. Oh man, it redirects to Homestuck.com.
After all the years. Other than that, you've been having some good times recently?
Yeah, I've been having a pretty chill weekend.
That's cool. I also had a chill weekend, believe it or not. Knowing that I have a dearth of chill in most situations. I went to a Sip and Swirl, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fundraiser at the Pittsburgh Aquarium where they had like wineries come in and it was a wine tasting kind of thing, and you could go see the animal, well, not the animals, but some of the aquatic animals were there, and of course the aquarium, so the fish were out. It was a good time. Lots of drinks, lots of fun hors d'oeuvres. I tried a spicy mead. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I had mead at the birthday party I was at last night. It was delicious.
This is perfect. That's the theme of the weekend, is mead. I mead to understand why this is happening. but also some other wine. Like, one of them was like hot. I got their flyer and everything. It's I might try getting it to have like at events and stuff. And I played a new game today called Double Cross. I think it's called.
Nice.
Double Cross sounds right. Yep, it's called Double Cross. Got it through Twitch. Because Twitch gives away free games every now and then. So that's a thing that happened and is happening. And I got back into Hearthstone today. Because foolish me was like, hey, I want to try that new Battle Royale Battlegrounds or Auto Battler mode they have.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to like pre-purchase the next expansion. And I'm like, no thanks, you're not getting me on that one. Or maybe influencers also got it, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going to give you guys any money. I'll just get it when it comes out of early access. It's how long is it going to be? A month or something? I'll be fine. But Hearthstone's still pretty good, so I haven't given it any money and having a satisfactory experience. So,
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Have you been up to anything cool other than the not exciting weekend you've said so far?
What have I been doing? I've been reading the latest Rick Riordan book. And I know that his name is pronounced Riordan, but it sounds so weird in my mouth that I continue to say Riordan. I watched all of She-Ra this week, which was lovely.
And we'll talk
about it in greater depth at some point.
That point will be today, no worries.
Yes it will. I've been a busy bee this week. I went to the gym 5 times in a row.
Is that out of character for you?
It's weird.
I need to get back in the gym. I don't like the shape that I'm in / not in, as it were.
Yeah, I'm like real annoyed because I've been to the gym 5 days in a row and still get out of breath going up the subway steps. And shouldn't I have fixed that by now? Having gone to the gym 5 times, gosh.
That's what I hate about going to the gym. I think that's the one thing that our generation has. Actually, no, it's hit all the generations that even if we have the work ethic to start going and keep going, since so many things have been gamified, it sucks not being able to see your progress on something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just one day you're just like, oh, I'm better at this now. I'm better at lifting. I'm more in shape.
Yeah, it's like, I leveled up. Yeah, you don't, there's not like a bump, 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 like.
Yeah, and there's no progress bar for it either. I think that's the thing that gets everybody.
You beat my workout puzzle.
I almost feel like you feel the level up, like if you're looking at weights or like a distance or a time, you realize you've gotten better, but you're not going to know when it happens to when it happens. It's kind of like probably in the old days when you had experience points and stuff, you didn't know you leveled up until you got the little jingle. And I think that's just why it's kind of hard for a lot of people when they first get into it, is because there's no recognition of progress. But hey, you know, we persevere through.
We'll get there. Get there in the end.
We will. It's the friends we made along the way. But that's our personal lives. You want to get into this, the point of our show?
Yeah, let's talk about some geeky things that happened last week-y.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you want to start with?
Do you want to talk about My Hero Academia?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like the episode was good without having a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, like it. So spoilers, obviously, if you are watching along, but I feel like it was more about emotional beats. There were like two large emotional beats and that was it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think like minor character, like character development and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was like character development for like All Might and Deku's relationship, but also kind of just character development for Deku by himself as like a kind of coming to terms with how to be a hero and what that means.
Yeah. I actually, we could probably let me hit you with this quick synopsis of this episode. So it picks up at the end of last episode and it's Deku and Mirio running into the little girl and Overhaul. And Overhaul's like, nah, fam, let's not do this. And then you go back to wherever his facility is, him taking the little girl back, he blows a dude up. Then we get to Sir Night Eyes talking to Mirio and Deku, like, yeah, cool, how about you not compromise my investigation? They're like, yeah, okay, cool. And they go back and Deku talks to All Might some, and Bakugo gets mad. And then he talks to All Might about what's going to happen with All Might's future, and they have like a flashback to a flash forward, and that's the episode. So when you put it like that, I feel like not a lot happened.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of cool little things in there, I thought.
Yeah, it was like a very like emotionally powerful episode, I feel like. Cause like, yeah. In big air quotes, confrontation between Overhaul and Deku, like, felt very, there was a lot of, like, there was a conflict of, like, Mirio and Deku obviously, like, recognized Overhaul immediately and were like, well, shit, like, we can't throw down with him right now because, like, we don't have anything on him, like, we're still investigating him kind of thing, and he's incredibly dangerous. But yeah. Also, like, this little girl is terrified, and how can we justify sending her back into this, like, lion's den with this, like,
Yakuza
murderer.
Man.
Yeah, this, like Yakuza murderer, like.
And they just straight up say, like, hey, you're from this, right? Those guys are pretty famous, like, not even gonna act like they don't know.
Yeah, because isn't it like the mask?
I think so. I think that's why they knew.
Like a signifier?
Yeah. But I kind of like the idea of both Mirio and Deku's inner thoughts of what's gonna raise the least suspicion to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mirio's like, we can't bother him because that'll raise suspicion. And then Deku's thinking, well, we're heroes. If we don't do something, that's gonna raise even more suspicion. Like,
yeah.
We're clearly worried about this person. And he's like, hey, how about we just come into this alley? And I'm like, what are they thinking going in this
alley? Right? Yeah, that sounds good. Let's just go into the fucking alley with the fucking serial killer Yakuza murderer man.
And do they know his power set? I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
But I did like the way he carried himself, kind of like cool and collected, you know? We haven't so far got a villain so far in this show that was like, hey, you know, I'm in charge of what's going on, like, I'm gonna be chill. I mean, All For One was kind of like that, but he was like the, I'm super powerful, so that's why I'm calm.
Yeah, it's like, I'm OP, and that's why I don't care about stuff.
Yeah, Wars Overhaul's like, nah, this is my daughter. Like, I don't know if that's really his
this
daughter,
is
but I'm like,
totally
yo,
my daughter.
this guy's like straight line, like, no, it's all good, man. Like, you know how kids are.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, so I kind of liked that interaction. But I like the subtle things. I looked it up, and I guess it's a spoiler for even further, but just skip ahead like 5 seconds. But I guess he's a germaphobe. But I was starting to get that vibe anyway from little things. I remember when they first fought the League of Villains, he screamed at someone, like, don't touch me. And I was like, was it Shigaraki and he used powers, or was it just like not to be touched? But then, like, you hear him talking about, like, the world's filthy, we have to cleanse people, like, da 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 da, there's people are infected, and he was wearing, like, little plastic gloves.
So you see kind of, like, the character elements.
Yeah. But I also noticed, like, when he blew that one dude up from touching him, he got, like, some bumps on the side of his face. That wasn't blood splatter. I went back and looked. It was, like, just bumps, like, hives or something. So I kind of like that intro. It's kind of interesting to me that there's two villains right now that kind of have touch-based powers that kind of clash personality-wise and power set. Like, Overhaul makes things explode. Shigaraki makes them decay. Those are like an implosion versus an explosion kind of thing. And then you have Sir Night Eyes has to activate his power by touching and looking at you, whereas Mirioso thing is physically not touching anything. So I find that, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything going on there, but I find it very interesting. So, I liked the episode, and I also enjoy how everyone's just kind of not really paying Mineta any respect this season. It's kind of like a running gag. Like, he's just, like, tapping on Deku's desk, like, bro, you see any hot girls? Like, yeah, sure, I guess so. Like, they're just ignoring him, and that's very funny to me. And then Bakugo's going on his, like, explosive temper, and that's kind of funny, too. So.
Yeah, and I think, well, I was going to say about the like, conversation that All Might and Deku have at the end, like...
Yeah, that was a lot.
Intense.
Yeah, and I have no idea what it's, I don't know what they do. Deku did raise a good point, he's like, why don't we just see the future again? It's like, hey, that's... I know it's, like, you're ending on a joke, but for real, though, like, why don't we just...
Yeah, why don't we, just see the future again? Like, haha.
I don't know. Like, he seemed to think he could change the future, so why can't you? So who knows? It's shaping up to be some pretty good stuff, I think. And then next week we'll see Kirishima fight some dudes. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm liking this season so far.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been intense.
Yeah.
Like that, even that, like no matter what, like the episodes, even when there's not like plot things, that like actiony things happening, like there's a lot of character development.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying Mirio more and more.
Yeah, like, right,
he keeps that really goofy outside, but he's very practical and tactical in a way. Like the fact that he was even saying like, oh no, I can't save everybody, but if I can save a million people, that'll be good.
Yeah,
like that's a, considering if you count like mass events or something, like let's say you stop a plane from crashing or something, and let's say you're a hero for like 20-30 years, like yeah, he realistically could save a million people. To but even like, it sounds high, but to put it in that kind of perspective, like I'm not going to save the world, but I can save a bunch of people, and that's enough for me
to try to
do
save
my
as
portion.
Many people as I can. Yeah,
and I like that.
Yeah, he's so chill.
Yeah, I really like his character a lot. And then there's the idea of people saying that they should have given all one for all to Mirio, and as far as I'm concerned, it seems like it makes more mathematical sense to make like another super quirked person to like fight evil than to
give
super
it to
OP
someone who,
like oh man, like what if we could have trained Bakugo to be a good guy and gave him all for once, like to for what, like why,
like he already got the fights, he's already got the fire.
Yeah, like Todoroki, like okay cool, you give him all for one, like you've made him go from the number one hero to the number one hero again. Like, okay, like, if someone would have gave one for all to Endeavor instead of All Might, the number two hero would have been one, so you would have just had one less hero. That's all you would have had. And I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that anybody with a quirk would have been able to handle one for all any more than Deku would have. Because, like, it destroys your body, so I don't think that anybody else was in it in particularly good shape. At least in my opinion.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe like one of the people who turns into a rock or something. But I don't know. Good episode. Spoilers over for that, at least. So tell me about some She-Ra.
Yeah, so some She-Ra.
I need to know what's going on.
So the fourth season dropped this last Tuesday. So it'll be a week ago as of this episode coming out. It was a lot. It was intense. A lot of big character moves. Like, there was a lot of, not quite turning coach, but, like, a little bit of turning of, like, switching sides, and a lot of, like, interpersonal drama. Like, Glimmer and Adora were kind of at odds for a lot of the season, because of a character death that happened at the end of last season, and how Glimmer's dealing with that, and so... How much do you care about spoilers? Because we can put a spoiler warning on this episode, but...
I think we'll do that, but I don't personally care.
Okay. I know you're trying to, like, inoculate yourself against worrying about spoilers, but...
I'm just doing my best. But also, like, there's two... There's, like, a... I haven't seen the whole first season, or the second or third, so it's like, this will mean nothing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, like, the one of the things that I really liked about it is that, so Scorpia, who I don't know if you ever met Scorpia.
Nope.
So she's like kind of like, she's like the big buff Cheetah Puff character of the show, but like she has like a Midwestern accent, like a Minnesotan kind of like almost like drawl. Like she's very just kind of laid back, and she's like, she considers herself friends with Catra, but Catra is kind of, like, not a particularly good friend to her.
Okay, like, is she part of the Horde?
Yeah, so they're both Force captains, but, Scorpia is also actually a princess. Her family, the Scorpion Kingdom, is where, like, back in the day, had formed an alliance with the Horde and given over their kingdom to the Horde, which became the Fright Zone. So, like, Scorpia has the, like, powers to be a princess, like, to be able to connect with, like, a gem the same way that, like, Glimmer connects with the Moonstone, etc., like, in order to, and to, like, access magic, but she just has never felt like she's able to connect, and she's always been kind of browbeaten by everyone she's ever been around, like she's not good enough, kind of.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was a fairly substantial subplot of this season was kind of Scorpia coming into her own and like realizing that she does have value, and like she ends up leaving the Horde not because like she's upset with how the Horde runs things or how the Horde like treats people or anything, but because she basically comes to terms with the fact that she's basically in an abusive relationship with Catra, that Catra is just kind of, like, no matter what Scorpia tries to do, Catra's never going to be happy with it.
Yeah, that's not so great.
And, like, that to me was, like, kind of the only thing that made sense about, like, sense for Scorpia to leave the Horde, because she's completely, not, like... And I think it's kind of in a way of, like, I've never known anything else, so this must be fine, kind of way. Like,
it's kind of like where Adora was at the beginning, almost.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, kind of, like, honestly, like, the thing that came to mind just now is, like, how, like, people are like, no, I'm perfectly fine with my healthcare plan. It's like, yeah, but you don't know that you don't know what it's like in other countries, like...
Where it's good.
where, like, you could pay $15 to get, like, surgery, like... But so she leaves the Horde and goes to, and like she also is upset with herself because at the end of last season, Catra banished Entrapta to this like legendarily terrible place like called Beast Island.
Beast Island, creatively named.
Creatively named Beast Island. I mean, is anything in this show creatively named? Catra, Scorpia.
There's a character named Bo.
Mermista.
That's actually, it's actually creative to call somebody Bo, because Bo's a name. That's play on words. Okay. Well, this also is the series. This is spawned of the same series as somebody called a He-Man.
Yeah.
Which is... So, let's be real.
So, but yeah, so, like, she's also upset with herself that she kind of stood by and let Entrapta be banished without doing anything to save her or to intervene. And so she goes basically to Bright Moon to kind of intercede and say, like, can you please help me get my friend Entrapta back? And also, like, kind of like, how can I help Catra in a way, like, how can I help Catra realize that what she's doing is not good for herself? Like, it's more like about, like, I still want to be Catra's friend, but she's not in a place where she's mentally able to be a good friend, like,
right,
kind of thing. And of course, like, as soon as, like, she's in Bright Moon, it's kind of that, like, coming out of, like, an abusive relationship thing where it's like, oh, like, I can't, like, they don't have a prison in Bright Moon, so they just lock her up in a spare bedroom that has, like, super, like, cushy pillows and, like, a great view, and, like, she's, like, is all of the rebellion like this? Like, like, Frost is, like, keeping watch on her, but, like, is, like, looking at her big pincers and is like, oh my god, the pincers are so cool, like, and she makes, like, ice ones for herself, and she's like, yeah, this will be awesome to fight with pincers like this, and Scorpia's like, no one's ever, and then she's like, sees, like, this look on Scorpia's face, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, like, I, like, the pincers are your thing, like, I shouldn't have done that, and then Scorpia's like, no one ever has ever thought that my pincers are anything but, like, big and clumsy. Aww. Like, no one's ever said they're cool before. It's like, oh my god, my heart.
So many cute moments.
Yeah, and so, like, to warn for spoilers, but, like, the big character death at the end of the last season was Queen Angela, Glimmer's mom.
Okay.
Sacrifices herself to close this terrible portal dealio.
Portals.
But, thinking with them.
And now you're thinking with portals.
But yeah, so Glimmer's now queen. And so it's, like, she's struggling not only to figure out what that means for her, like, whether she should be leading from behind or, like, and she is jealous that Adora and Bo still get to go out in the field on missions, and, like, she's clashing with Adora because she feels like Adora is, like, trying to take charge over her. And everything is also complicated by the fact that there's this new character, Double Trouble.
Yeah,
shapeshifter.
I saw their voice actor, like, talking about, like, their whole thing with being a character in the show.
Yeah,
and I thought that was fascinating, but I was like, this still means nothing to me. I'm 3 seasons behind. I don't know who they are, but this is pretty dope.
Yeah, so they're a really cool character. They're a shapeshifter, and I think I saw an article that was like, in She-Ra and the Princess of Power, even the villains don't misgender people
they're evil. They're not bigots.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
they're not bigots against, like, real life groups anyway.
Yeah, they're just bigoted against princesses.
Yeah, like, but, that's fine. I mean, you know.
Yeah, eat the rich. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, they're evil for their methods, not necessarily their ideology.
Yeah, so, like, this character, Double Trouble, is a shapeshifter, and they are sent by Catra into Bright Moon to undercover to foment unrest. And so there's, like, a whole, all throughout, like, while Adora and Glimmer are, like, naturally butting heads, Double Trouble is also there, like, exacerbating it, like, wow, Glimmer, it's so great that you let, that, like, you're so comfortable and, like, in your authority that you let She-Ra boss you around like that. Like, and there's a really cool, like, kind of locked room, like, Agatha Christie-esque episode where they finally, like, unmask Double Trouble as the, like, secret agents within the thing, and it's, and they're just, like, a really cool character, like, cool character design,
Can they do voice changing?
Like, yeah, so if they change into another... I feel like they
have to learn how to do that.
Yeah, so, like, if they like, morph into, like, Adora, say, like, then they speak with Adora's voice.
Well, I'm guessing they have to have seen the person to, like, mimic their shape and voice, or is it just, like, free, like, magic?
It's kind of, like, free magic. Like,
that's fine. Like, it's just a show. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, like, the way that they sneak into Bright Moon is they're like, what would the most likely thing, like, kind of person for them to pick up and bring with them back into Bright Moon be? And so they shapeshift into, like, this, like, very fluffy pink, like, pink dress, pink wings, like, little, like, fairy girl named Flutterina.
And, oh, like, just, like, clowning the heroes.
Yeah, completely clowning them, like. And so, like, they're an actor. They like to get into their roles.
Well, one must be.
Exactly. So, but they're also, like, really interesting because they're, like, purely chaotic neutral in that at the end they end up changing sides because Glimmer gave them a better offer.
As the, like, heroes are wont to do.
Yeah, so it's like, they were only working for Catra so long as Catra was giving them what they wanted, like, money or whatever.
That makes sense. That's how the chaotic neutral tend to go.
Yeah, so, like, they're really cool. And the person who voices them is also non-binary. They're Jacob Tobia, I think.
Yeah, that's what I saw was their video on Twitter. That's why I was looking at it. I don't even remember what the character looks like, but
mm-hmm.
The character
is like a kind of like lizardy elf.
Oh yes, like the Adventure Zone.
Yeah, so like whenever it's like given away that a character is actually Double Trouble in disguise, like they have like the sideways blink.
Oh, okay.
Like a lizard.
That's
like sideways eyelids.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was really cool. A lot of cool mythology stuff about, like, Etheria and what the first ones, like, why the first ones were there and where She-Ra's power comes from.
Yeah, can we talk about the fact that, like, Double Trouble's old design and, like, the original, like, wasn't great? I think there was an original one. I believe.
Let's see.
Yeah, like, it's just the same whack design that everybody else had. It looks exactly like everybody else.
Oh,
I can't believe, like, we were just fine with this. Like, I mean, yeah, He-Man was probably the same. I'm not gonna act like I know anything about it, but oof, all these characters look exactly the same except for Bo.
It's just the same outfit in green,
like
Lord Almighty.
And people want to, like, say all this stuff about, like, oh, you made all the characters, like, social justice friendly. I'm like, yeah, but they needed to at least, like, do something.
Dude, at least,
like,
look different.
This is whack. Like, this is hella whack. Yeah, I prefer the new Double Trouble because
some
creativity was given.
Yeah.
They seem pretty fun.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And the final thing, exciting thing, and, like, hurtful in my like character, like, good writing, but, like, I feel sad about it kind of thing. Yeah. Is that when they, so at the end, Bo and Adora, like, go off to be silent to save Entrapta, because this whole time they didn't know she was there. Scorpia and Catra were the only ones who knew she was on Beast Island. Scorpia, or Catra had told Hordak that Entrapta had, like, double betrayed him and gone back to the Resistance. And Bo and Adora had discovered, like, they had discovered that Entrapta was alive. They thought she had died in the first season, but they discovered that she was still alive and with the Horde. But the last time they had seen her, she had been like, no, I like it here. They let me do whatever I want. Like, I can, like, investigate whatever kind of first ones tech I want. And so no one knew, except for Catra and Scorpia, that she had been banished. And so once they find that out, Adora and Bo were like, we have to go save Entrapta. And Glimmer's like, no, we have, like, a war to fight. You can't run away. Like, and they're like, well, sorry, she's our friends. And so they sneak out and go off to Beast Island to save her. And not only do they save her, but they discover on Beast Island Glimmer's dad.
Oh. Is he a beast?
He is not a beast. Except maybe in the colloquial sense of the term.
Oh, gotcha.
Plot
thickens.
Yeah, who has been supposedly dead for, like, since he was supposedly died when Glimmer was very young.
Yeah.
So, like, he's still thinking of Glimmer as being, like, he has no idea how much time has passed, like, so he's still thinking of Glimmer as, like, a precocious, like, toddler, kind of, and then when someone mentions that she's the queen, he's like, then that means, oh god, like, my wife is dead. Like, but,
That's, yep. I mean, at least he's, still sharp as a tack.
Yeah. But, so, like, they're able to get off of East Island with Entrapta and King Micah and get back to Brightmoon, but they get there just as, like, Glimmer has left to go to the Fright Zone to stop, to try to connect, try to get Scorpia to connect with her runestone for the first time. They've left, and then by the end of the episode, by the end of the finale, so Hordak is a weaker clone of this greater enemy called Horde Prime.
Okay, but Hordak's like the big bad, right?
Hordak thus far has been the big bad.
Okay.
And then it's kind of like, maybe like as a like not as an imperfect comparison, it's kind of like how like Loki is the big bad for a while in Marvel, and then it ends up that actually Thanos is the big bad.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So like Hordak is the big bad for a while, but actually he's just like a underpowered, like poorly cloned version of Horde Prime, who is the actual big bad.
Well, good. Wonderful.
Yeah, and so Horde Prime shows up at the end of the last episode and beams Hordak up to his ship, but Glimmer's right there, and so she gets beamed up too. And so now Glimmer has no idea that her dad is alive. Is like the last thing she did was like yell at her friends.
Super good.
She's stuck on this ship in space, like
things are gonna get weird.
So yeah, so I don't know when season 5, but need season 5.
Also, like, can we talk about that? Like, let's talk. Like, this is what? Like, this show is not even a year old yet, or it's just about a year old. Like, and it's just popping off. Like, it's 4 seasons so fast, right?
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah, because, cool. I mean, what? I made my catcher costume after the first season, and that was for OhioCon last year. Yep.
So, we're probably, like, at around a year, maybe?
Yeah.
It feels like years ago, because the discourse was so stupid. But... that's good. It seems like there's a lot of cool ass shit. It's like really deep stuff, you know. It's all these like all the gay kid shows have really good intricate plots.
Yeah, there's a lot of complex world building and like character stuff happening, and like truly like at least the whatchamacallit, at least like the Willowa, the like girl focused gay shows, the Willowas,
please don't do that,
cartoons tend to have like some complexity, like the more I enjoy She-Ra, the more I'm depressed by how much potential Voltron had.
Yeah, that didn't,
and wasted all of it.
That didn't need to go that way.
It wasted it so hard.
You know, I think I'm realizing based on the two shows we've talked about today, being She-Ra and My Hero, is either you gotta, like, be some cool queer stuff, or, like, let it be open but not, like, pander to it. Like, don't queer bait. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. That's, like, where Voltron kind of, like, let all of its fans down. Because, like, there's queer shipping in My Hero, and, you know, there's, like, background characters that are LGBTQ and stuff. Like, someone pointed out that there were, like, these two girlfriends that were in the manga, like, these two background characters, and they were in this episode. Like, the people that had, like, animal ears and stuff were, like, two girlfriends. But they're not, like, explicitly, like, real gay shows or anything. And then She-Ra and, like, Steven Universe pretty much are. But then you have Voltron, where it's, like, queer adjacent. Mm-hmm. Those shows squander their potential. Tisk, tisk. Makes me sad.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's like, you know, like they used to say back in the day, be gay or get off the pot. That's what I always say.
That's what I always say.
I've said it many times. You've heard it here, folks. Well, that's good, though. I mean, I'm glad there's shows with, like, complex stuff going on. You know, people really like lore and world building. That's why I'm, like, real into the things that I'm into, you know?
Mm.
Is the lore and the world building. Gotta go fast. Great world building.
Yes. Yeah, so it was very, very good stuff.
Cool. So, anything else on that, or you want to jump into, like, this last kind of topic.
Let's jump.
Smash. We have like a topic smash. So, I'll read the Discord link I sent you. When you said, you got anything? And I said, I played a new game today and kind of got into some discourse on Rick and Morty and the Scorsese stuff, but it's not related. Just discourse has been real weird for me to look at recently. Like, it feels kind of... Like, people taking disingenuous points is really starting to bother me, and I guess it's just the third topic in general. Like, so, people saw the thing where, like, Martin Scorsese said, like, MCU movies aren't cinema or whatever, right? And then he goes on and, like, defends it in, like, a, I'm gonna say, a Washington Post article or something. And he kind of defines it as, like, stuff that he's not really a fan of and doesn't see as, like, high art. It was basically the gist I got from it. And I read, I skimmed through a lot of this, but I tried to read a good bit of it. And I read that, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This guy's saying, to me, it came off him saying, they're fine for what they are, but I don't consider them high art, and it's not the kind of stuff I want to watch, which isn't a controversial take. I don't think you can in good faith argue with that. But it's the kind of basic idea of saying, at least to me, what bothered me about it was saying that it's not cinema, like, without, like, you're using a different definition of the word than a lot of people are. Because I'm like, I saw it in a theater. It's a film. That's cinema, right? And to my knowledge, cinema doesn't specifically mean high art, but maybe it does. And in that case, hell yeah, the Marvel movies aren't high art. That's not what I'm going to go see them. Like, but the discourse around it seems to feel like that people not necessarily were defending Scorsese's point, but more of they were trying to dunk on the Marvel movies, and that was just like an appeal to authority they could use. And the point that I was saying was, like, you can't, on the one hand, say Scorsese's right, the Marvel movies aren't real cinema, like, but also be saying stuff like, oh no, we need to release the Snyder Cut. You know, like, they feel like incongruous thoughts, because I don't think Scorsese would say, hey, like, I don't know the man's art well enough, I'm not going to speak for him, but I don't think he'd make this exception for the DC movies. We're like, no, we need to see Zack Snyder's original vision on the Batman movie, because it was just going to be so much better. Like, I don't think that would be the case.
Yeah.
But the discourse just kind of got tiring, because I know there's a lot of people that have a chip on their shoulder about Marvel movies, like they're too silly or they're like bullcrap and whatever. Which, I mean, they are. That's fine. Like, that's why a lot of people like them, but it just felt tiring to talk about, and like people weren't being honest with what they were getting at. And that also kind of made me think about, like, I saw this video by the Renegade Cut, whose YouTube channel you should go look at, actually, listeners. It's really good. It's really intense stuff. But he released a video about how Rick and Morty, like, even though the creators may have wanted to say one thing, the way it's framed, like, the way that the characters are framed, like, disagrees with that. And the reason the fans can be so toxic is because, like, they're not making things up out of thin air, but the way that the characters framed kind of suggests that. They kind of point, like, he points out that Rick is always right about everything, and I'm like, yeah, and it's not supposed to be a satire. Well, people might say it's a satire, but it's not framed as one, right? And to me, and this is kind of what I want to talk about, I don't feel that it necessarily, I don't know how much a show needs to come out and say how bad its characters are. Like what's the responsibility of a show to say the character's bad so explicitly in such a way that we get it? Like the Joker movie, people were worried that it would be like an incel movie, right? Which I always thought was kind of odd, because we've seen the Joker before. We get what his deal is, and we get that he's a bad guy and his ideals aren't really worth pursuing. I bring up Killmonger and Black Panther to say Killmonger had some good ideas, and his, like, his justification, his words were good. The idea of, like, oh, let's go kill everybody. It's like, okay, that's probably not it. Like, throwing away our tradition and all that, that's not the way. But he did get T'Challa to say, you know what, maybe I should put some outreach centers, which I don't think was just education. I think it was Wakanda's going to reach out to people and share supply. I don't know. But he made the main character change his viewpoint of the world. He's just like, yo, you just can't go around killing people, though. And the Joker might say stuff like, man, society's jacked. We live in a society. It's like the fifth episode in a row we've said we live in a society.
We continue to live in a society. What can we say?
Yes, it's true. But all the stuff he does, we're still like, yo, I get that he feels betrayed by society, but you can't run around killing people. But does the movie have to say that for us to understand that? Is it up to the movies and the directors to come out and say that? And I'm asking that, like, sincerely. Just thinking about the stuff in Rick and Morty, it was, you know, Rick always is right, but it's never shown as, like, that's a good way to be. And I think that's where I took issue with Renegade Cut's videos. It seemed like they were conflating Rick always being right with that being a right viewpoint on the world. He's like, being callous and being unempathetic is not a substitute for, like, being smart, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the analysis, which I found a little bit weird, like, it kind of skipped over some of the, no video essay would sit there and go over all the things that disagree with it. But it stopped right before... You saw Rick and Morty, right? I think.
Yeah.
Remember that episode, The Vindicators, that, like, nobody really liked? Well, I guess Dan Harmon didn't like, but the one with all the fake Avengers?
Yes.
So, yeah. I remember, you know, Morty points out, like, Rick says something like, oh, I'm always right. He's like, wasn't I right? And Morty's like, it doesn't matter that you're right. It just matters, like, the way you are. No one wants to agree with you about being right because you're an asshole. I'm like, that's kind of, like, the thesis of the show, to an extent.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, to you, Steph, you read a lot more than me, so I'm like wondering, do you have to, like, how explicitly do you have to be like, hey, we know our character's a real badass and is always right about stuff, but don't be like him? Like, how explicit do you have to make that?
I don't know that you need to make it. I guess it depends on what you think your audience is going to be.
I guess, like, the other thing he said was there's no denying how many people in that fan base are toxic, and that doesn't come from nowhere. So what did they all, like, what did they jump onto? And that must be, and I agree that there must be something. And I'm wondering, is that a fault of the creators, or is that a fault of creating media? Like, the Sonic and My Little Pony fandoms are notoriously known for being toxic in many ways. And it's not like those are, like, there's no, you can't pull anything bad out of those, necessarily. It's just the fan bases were like that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, like, Rick and Morty does seem to, like, that copypasta that goes around, like, that wouldn't either be, either someone made that as a joke or someone made it sincerely, but you wouldn't be able to have made that at all unless there was some merit to the fans acting that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you write for who you think your audience is going to be, and when your audience ends up being, like, on one hand, like, for the case of My Little Pony, ends up being an unexpected demographic, then you're not necessarily, like, then you kind of have to shift focus, I guess, like, and that's why, like, shows like, I guess, like She-Ra and, like, Steven Universe and stuff, like, what they, and even, like, Gravity Falls, like, the cartoons that really stand the test of time as both, like, good kid cartoons and appealing to adult cartoons tend to not forget that kids are their primary audience, and so they're writing to kids. And I feel like with Rick and Morty, like, I don't know, I'm not 100%, am I making sense? I'm not 100% sure where I'm going with, like, this.
Yeah, this is a messy conversation, like, I wanted to have it, but it kind of does feel like they were writing to a poop fart joke audience, and wanted to, like, throw some, not smart jokes necessarily, like, maybe clever jokes and smart references, like, you don't have to be a genius to get the Schrodinger's cat thing in the multiple realities, but it's a cute joke that you would have had to... Oh, Schrodinger's cat, I get it. That's cute. It's not like a genius level joke. You would have had to, like, see something once.
Yeah.
But so since it's easy to follow, but references smart things, people came in for, like, the why can't I say this today? Poop jokes and fart jokes audience came in, and they already were predisposed to kind of, like, have a problem with society. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you're as smart as Rick. Like, well, Rick's not written that smartly. But now they think they're better than everybody. So, like, they didn't change their content for the audience they got, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think, like, it's, there's also, like, I guess, like, a difference of the fact that, like, in the case of, like, My Little Pony and other cartoons, like, the primary audience was kids, and it kind of went off, when it kind of went off the rails when they started writing to appeal more to the bronies than to the little girls.
How so?
I just, like, I distinctly remember, like, a, like, an episode before I stopped, like, shortly before I stopped watching, where, like, they actually had, like, Derpy Hooves, like, say something that was, like, and I don't think her name is Derpy Hooves in the show, but they had her say something.
And they eventually changed it, because, like, yo, this ain't great.
Yeah, like, say something that was, like, a meme.
Okay.
And I was just, like, winced. Like, it was just, like, like,
bro, you just posted cringe.
Yeah, like, literally, like, this is just, this is cringe, like, but, like, with a show that's for adults, when you see that people are taking the wrong message from your show, I feel like you should reckon with that. Like,
and I think that's kind of what the third season was, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
The guy did, he did point out that, like, the episode Pickle Rick has a lot of, it undresses, like, Rick's mentality. But the thing that so many people pull from it is Pickle Rick. So if nothing else, I agree with that point that he said. Like, there must be some reason why you had, like, basically a small monologue from a psychiatrist character basically saying, Rick, here's why you're shit. And he can't even,
like, you're a garbage person.
And he can't even really say anything to it other than, like, walk away or, like, say, fuck you. Like, that's all it is. And it ends with Rick and Beth ignoring the kids, saying they want to go back to therapy. Like, okay, this is... and throughout the season, like, Morty saying, yo, Rick, you suck, I don't want to listen to you. Jerry ultimately winning in the end over, like, their battle over family. Even though Jerry did nothing, he's never been smart. So I feel like there was... I think that's probably why the episode didn't sit well with so many people.
Because it was actually, like, making... It was, like, holding up a mirror, like... It was
holding up a mirror in some ways, and, like, looking at it through that lens. Well, I still think the last episode... I don't like it. It was, like, messy narratively. I don't think it was a satisfying end. I would have liked to see Rick get his comeuppance in an episode that was about him getting his comeuppance, not like, oh, hey, this plot's over now. But I do think there was something about, oh, hey, that's right, we have a villain protagonist. We don't have a good guy protagonist. Every now and then he should lose to... He's not going to lose to anybody when it comes to, like, a battle of badassery or smarts. But when it comes to, like, an empathetic battle, he can never win that in his current state. And
I feel like the problem is, like, because it took them till the third, like, that, like, because Pickle Rick's pretty late in the season too,
I think it's,
isn't, like,
the fourth episode. I think it's pretty early in that season. However, the problem with the third season was the Szechuan sauce episode came out on April Fool's Day, and the rest of the show didn't come out for a few more months. So the time between the third season starting, like, between the first episode and the fourth episode is almost like a whole season of a show, times-wise.
Yeah. So I feel like they went to reckon with the weirdness of their fandom, and then, but, like, it had been, there had been too much of a gap, and the people who watched the episode took the wrong thing away from the episode.
I mean, also, because the way they previewed, like, that episode, like, you would think Pickle Rick was the whole point of the episode. Like, they just showed the fight scene of him, like, killing the rats.
Yeah, it was, like, the point of this episode is, like, Rick does another crazy experiment, haha!
Yeah, and, you know, that's the B plot, and there's kind of some, you know, that cool, like, A-B synchronicity that, like, good shows do. I still love it as a show, but it was making me think a lot about this stuff, and... I think that's why this season was less wacky adventures. Some of his critiques I didn't really agree with, like, it mischaracterized, like, oh, you know, he's always right about this, like, when he kills, like, the jelly bean, like, sex offender guy. I didn't think that episode was really rape jokes, necessarily. I wouldn't have characterized it that way. I think it was something that happened, and it was bad. And he's like, yeah, but Rick's right again by, like, killing this guy. I'm like, is that bad? Like, this fantasy creature that was terrible got killed? Like, I don't... And, like, it seemed like he was being empathetic towards his grandson. It wasn't like a, oh, hey, look, I'm so much... Like, that's when he was like, hey, no, Morty, this is a good adventure. Like, we'll go, like, that's when he turned into, like, a decent person for a second. Like, he could have rubbed in his face, like, see, I told you that your adventure would end bad. Like, no, let's just go down the hill. It'll be fine. So,
yeah.
I feel like there was missing that characterization. So, like, discourse has just been rough around things, you know?
And yeah.
Kind of, it's like the South Park paradox. Like, Cartman's the bad guy in no uncertain terms.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's what I feel like.
But he's like...
It comes back to.
Yeah, but he's, like, easily the most fun character to watch, right? I mean, once you take, like, the slurs and the racism out. Like, I'm talking about, like, the pure nonsense. Like, when he's being racist, that's not fun to watch. That just sucks. But, like, when he made that kid eat his parents, like, that wasn't a hate crime or anything. It was just, like, some white kid in the suburb tricked him, so he, like, oh, I tricked you to eat your parents. Like, terrible thing, horrible thing. But the other character, like, oh, man, we better not mess with Cartman. He's wild. And it was like, oh, that was, like, a magnificent, like, the way that saw traps are interesting, like, without the gore part of it, you know, like the Rube Goldberg, I was like, oh, okay, cool. But people took, like, like, the racism and stuff from it. And I don't know why people see Cartman as the good guy. That must be some failing of the show. And that show even does say specifically sometimes that Cartman's an amoral piece of crap. So I'm not sure why. You know what I mean? I think South Park is also reckoning with some of the stuff that they've done in the past. Like, I just think about the episode where they apologize to Al Gore. And just since then, from the episodes I've heard about, there seems to be a lot of, how do we frame this in a way so we can still make offensive jokes, but people get, like, the joke about it? And they've had to, like, punch weird ways. Like, they're trying not to punch down, but they're just punching wildly. I don't know. I just didn't think about discourse a lot. If people listen to this, like, I'd really recommend going to watch this channel, Renegade Cut, on YouTube. He makes really good videos, and I learn a lot from them. And I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong in missing the whole point of it, of his video. But I'm willing to be wrong. But support, you know, YouTubers and stuff, especially since their weird TOS is coming out.
Yeah, what? That's. I got the email. I was like, I don't.
I mean, did you see the main thing in it? They're like, concerned. Oh, hey, like, channels that aren't, like, economically viable, we can shut down. It's like.
Don't love it.
I know why that's there. It's just so, like, you know, if we get another, like, Logan Paul situation or a PewDiePie, we can drop it if it's, like, not a cash cow. But, like, that does it. That doesn't sound good. So, I mean, like, what are the channels that are not economically viable? Is it, like, our channel that has, like, a few videos but not a lot of views? Like, well, we're not eating data and we're not costing them any much that much, but...
Yeah, like, what is that?
Who knows? It's bad. It could be such a great product, but... Well, I think that's everything, right? I mean, Death Stranding came out, but I didn't play none of that. Yeesh, I'm not...
That is something else. We should get, Well, I don't know if Eric will have played it either, but we should find someone who has played it.
Yeah, we need to ask somebody some questions.
Have, like, a guest.
Yeah, we need to bring in somebody.
Please tell me about this nonsense.
Please come explain Death Stranding to us. In 40 minutes or less. Oh, man. But, also, last thought, and then I'm gonna ask you to do the social media biz. You see that trailer for Soul, that Pixar movie?
I haven't watched the trailer yet, but isn't it just, like, another movie where, like, a black person is an animal for most of the movie?
I think the dude dies. Like, he falls into a sewer and becomes, like, a little blue ghost. I'm like, bro, just let black people be black for the whole movie. Like, I talked to some friends online about this, and they're like, that's a common trope, like... in media that people turn into animals. I'm like, but yo, like, how come every black cartoon character turns into something? For, like, the, like, Princess and the Frog happened, this movie had happened, and something else? Princess and the Frog. There was one other one where, like, the black person is just not a person for most of the movie. I don't know. It's weird.
Princess the Frog. I mean, like, Brother Bear, the guy turns into a bear.
Wow, how creatively named. This brother's a bear.
Let me just find this real fast. He's like Inuit.
I mean, brothers can be brothers. Oh, it was Princess and the Frog, the Soul movie, and some movie where this guy turns into a bluebird.
There's a Spies in Disguise movie coming out.
Is that
the where Will Smith turns into a pigeon?
Yes, that's it, yeah. And it's I know people turn to animals a lot in movies, but like I can point to
Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, someone pointed that one out. I'm like, yo, like I understand, like I wouldn't have pulled that as my example, of like it doesn't just happen to black people because that's another brown person. I mean, I guess you could say that there were other brown people in that movie that were heroes. They were arguably not the bad guy in that movie. but still, no, that happens. I'm like, but just look at the Disney princesses. Like, count all the black Disney princesses and what percentage of them turned into animals for a good portion of the movie. Is that 100% that I'm seeing?
Yeah, it's 100.
If you just gave us one that didn't, the number would drop in half. So I don't know. So say you want to find us on the internet.
That is hosting.
It's
final topic. If you want to find us on the internet and tell us about your plans for a black Disney princess who does not turn into an animal, you can tweet us on Twitter at CharacterRev. It's character R-E-V. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal and on Facebook at Character Reveal. You can find us, you can listen to us like anywhere you're going to listen to a podcast, including the internet, where you can find us at characterreveal.simplecast.fm.
And Apple and Google and Stitcher. Hurrah!
Yeah. If you're going to listen to us in a place that you can leave a review or a rating, please do that thing. If you want to shoot us a line, if you want to be a guest on our dear show, you can hit us up at characterreveal@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you want to find Dom on the internet, you can find him at Brother Dom. Pretty much
anywhere on the internet, that's Brother Dom.
And if you want to find me on the internet, anywhere, you can find me at HellaSteph on Instagram, at CaptainSteph on Twitter, and at TheSnowQueer on Tumblr.com. That's about it, right?
Sounds right to me. I'm tired and I rambled and I'm depressed.
Don't be depressed. Go look at Jacob Tobia's Twitter and find joy in your heart.
Who's
again?
Whose Twitter?
Jacob Tobia, the person who plays Double Trouble.
Yes.
I went to scoop it out and apparently they were like tweeting a bunch of like Catradora like shippy stuff.
I'm not surprised.
And kept saying stuff about like this is wonderful and I love it and I am totally not breaking my non-disclosure agreement by tweeting shippy fan art of these two characters.
That's true. That's any good creator would do that. But listeners, once again, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Geekly Reveal. We hope you come around more and more often. We appreciate it. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.